Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Everybody got one? Okay. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm green. There I am. Yeah. Yeah. I have never done this style before, okay? Usually I'm teaching through a book or anyway, but now we decided when we quit our last group that we would do stories of the Bible. And so there what we got is 12 stories of the Bible. They turned me loose to pick out the stories. Okay? So I picked out the story, and I was surprised because all I did was open my Bible, you know, and I'm from old school, and I just flipped through, and what jumped off the page at me, I went for it, okay? Now, I didn't want to do like the big events, okay, because that would take more than 1 hour. These I'm trying to get these into 1 hour segments, so you come here. You'll get a story. Hopefully, we'll cover Rahab completely tonight, okay? And get that done. But that's the series. Well, on top of that, what I hope as a teacher, obviously, that every night you would have something of value that you could put right into your life, and it would help you in your life, okay? So we want that to happen. But in the overall picture of 12. And by the way, they'll be in consecutive Wednesday nights except for the last one, which is just before Thanksgiving. And so we'll skip that one, and then we'll do the 12th on the following week. So they're all in line. But what I would like to happen, let's say you go to all 12, and you did not have a kind of a consciousness of the Bible in total. I would like for you to have that when you finish these 12 stories. That you feel comfortable how the Bible talks, you have some sense of the bigger panorama of the Bible. In other words, 27 books in the New Testament, 39 in the Old Testament, you have a little bit of handle on them, okay? All right. That's kind of in the broad scope, okay? Now we want to do an introduction to Rahab. Does anybody know Rahab? Okay, and you know, she just jumped off the page at me. Okay, and so here we go. And if this is from the book of Joshua, is where we find Rahab. But before we go to Joshua, I'm gonna tell you a couple of reasons why that she jumps off the page at me. She is found in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew. Other than Mary now, I'm not, you know, that's another discussion altogether. There are four women in the genealogy of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Now, if you go over to Luke, and he has a genealogy, no women, okay? So here's Matthew, who's writing principally to Jewish people. He's writing principally to them, and he mentions four women. Well, right away, you got to say, what? You have to ask that question. How does that happen? How does she get her name in the genealogy of Jesus Christ? Okay, then you read further into the New Testament, and you're reading in Hebrews, and there she turns up again in the 11th chapter in what I call the Hall of Fame of the Faithful, and there she is again. Well, how does that happen? How does an insignificant Gentile woman become so significant that she's in the genealogy of Jesus Christ and mentioned in the Hall of Fame of faithful. So you got, well, let's take a look, see. Let's see if we can figure how that happens. By the way, that text, if you're writing it down, that text is Hebrews 11, 31. And the whole chapter 11 in Hebrews is on faith. Okay, setting. I'm going to do just a few words about setting. Major event in the Old Testament is the Exodus. Okay? It's the overarching event of the Old Testament. Major event. Okay. Most important event is the Exodus. Okay? So you get over in the New Testament, of course, the most important event there is the cross of Jesus Christ. He dies on the cross and is raised again. So that, and by the way, I just put those two together. I always do that. Okay. If I say the cross, I also mean the resurrection. Okay? One event. Major event, most important event in the New Testament is the death of Jesus on the cross. Most important event in the Old Testament is the Exodus from Egypt. Okay? Like if God would want to talk to his people, he'd say, like, I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I brought you through the desert. Most important event. Okay. Signals who God is. Okay. So they're out of Egypt and they make their way. How many years are they in the wilderness wandering around? We just wander. You know, they just wander around for 40 years until they figure it out. And then when they figure it out, they cross over into the promised land. Well, that's exactly where they are when we enter this story, is they're standing right on the precipice of going into the promised land. And when they get in there, of course, they're going to have to fight some battles, right? And that's where Rahab comes in. That gives you some idea in the history of Israel where she is. They've left Egypt. They got out of Egypt. They have spent their 40 years, they've done their apprenticeship, and now they're ready to enter into God's blessing. We'll just put it that way, okay? They're ready to enter in, okay? And that's where we find them. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. And we got to be careful how we pronounce these names here, okay? All right, just be careful. Did you just see it? Okay. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. I wonder why they went in there anyway. Why they chose that place. Thank you, Jerry. I just think, Jerry, he gets this stuff, okay? Work at it. Hang in there, okay? All kidding aside, there probably was not a lot of places to stay. There wasn't like a Motel 6 or anything like that. And so there wasn't a lot of places to stay. So it's not. And there has been some argument and by some good Bible scholars that think maybe the word prostitute shouldn't be there. She's an innkeeper, which you will know. And maybe the innkeepers, you just normally had some suspicion about them anyway. Okay, I'm not sure. But the spies are sent out, and this is the way they do business. If you're in the armed forces, what would this be called? Reconnaissance. Yeah, reconnaissance. Yeah, get some reconnaissance. You know, how would you say some intel? Anyway, that's what you're looking for. So he sends them out, And lo and behold, they go to stay with Rahab for many reasons, I think. And one of the reasons is, which comes up later, is she has a house on the wall. So you can make a quick exit out the window on the wall if you have to. And they do. I don't know how quick they had to make it, but they had to make it. So you're introduced to this story by sending out two spies and to check out and see what's going on over there. Because they don't know. They don't know. And so these guys will find out. All right. Number two. A moral dilemma. I have found out about myself that this is one of the things I love in a movie, is when the main person falls into a moral dilemma. Okay? One of the sillier movies, but it was good. I mean, it was pretty well done. It was Murder on the Orient Express. And it's Agatha Christie, I think, is the... I think who does that, and the inspector, who's major character in that, the inspector, when he gets on the train, Orient Express, he knows exactly who ought to be punished and who ought to, how should I say, bear the brunt of the law. He knows exactly who that is when he gets on that train. When he gets off the train, he's not sure. Everything was turned upside down. And, of course, he's challenged then about his own sense of morality. Okay. So here she is challenged. She enters a moral dilemma. I don't know if you've done that before. If you haven't, and you've got any age on you at all, you've not been living, really. All right? So I want you to see her. I want you to see her fall into this moral dilemma. All right. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent his messengers to Rahab. Wonder why he knew to send to Rahab. Probably nothing happens in that city that she don't know about to begin with. And because she just seemed like a smart cookie to me. Yeah. They know exactly who would know. And who is that? Now, you got to say, she's pretty cool. She's pretty cool at that point. Yeah. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. Okay. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. Uh-oh. She already knew something was up. She already knew. And they are hidden. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. And what do we call that? We call that lying. Huh? We call that lying. I miss that. You should not break the rules unless you absolutely have to. Moral dilemma. I could just see some of these fine Christians says, I never lie. You haven't been very many good places. That's the truth. You haven't been very many good places. All right. But, I mean, you don't do that unless you just absolutely have to. It's not that the rules aren't good. I had somebody say the other day, he was given a mini lecture on justice. And it's yakking, and pretty soon it said, I know what justice is. It's fairness. And I had just studied the four lepers, you know. And if you know that story of the woman gets a hold of the king, the woman says, they're all starving to death. The woman says, me and this other woman had an agreement that we would eat my baby today and tomorrow eat hers. Well, we ate my baby, and then she had hidden hers. Is that fair for her to do that? You see what I mean? Sometimes fair don't work. Fair don't work sometimes. And justice is a slippery rabbit. Okay? All right. Go after them. See if you can't find them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under stalks of flax she had laid out on the floor. They used flax to get fiber for clothing and that kind, and ropes and all that kind of thing. Also, so the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that led to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Okay, now we got shut up, and we got those guys are actually shut up on the inside, and the other guys are out chasing who knows what, and as far as they go. All right, but you got something, you got some sense of the moral dilemma that she's in, okay? Does somebody want to see that beyond that moral dilemma, that this is getting very, very dangerous? These people do, I thank you. I want you to get some sense of how dangerous her situation is. Most of this she's taken on herself. Okay? All right, go to the next slide. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. That was the way, like a candle would melt under the heat. Their hearts are melting out of fear. And these are city states, and they're apt to, somebody gets a bigger army, they come and take all your stuff. They maybe kill you. That's just the way that the world works. Well, somewhat way it still works. Okay, go to the next slide. We have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did in Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. And this is one of the things they want to build, that the Jewish people, now I'm not making any moral judgment on them, but one of the things they wanted to build is we kill everybody. Because when that news goes to the next town, they want that next town to know that there is no surrender. You either pick your stuff up and go and get out of here, or we will kill you. That was the message that the Jews wanted to deliver. Good, bad, or ugly, that's what they were doing. I heard a heart smell. Did we read that one? Yeah, okay. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now that's a real stretch. That is a really big stretch for someone to say that, even about Yahweh, for the Jews to say that. But now she somehow knows that down deep. How she got there, I do not know. Somehow she knows that down deep. And sometimes you do. Doesn't happen much, okay, but once in a while you just know something. I mean, you don't know how you know it, but you know something. And there may have been some visitors come through there and told her, and she picked up on that and you know, come through her establishment there and come through there, and she may have picked up. How she gets this, we are not told. Okay, do we have another one underneath that? How far do we go with that one? Yeah. Now then, please swear to me. I love this here. You listen to her and you learn from her. She's going to enter into what we call negotiation. She's going to negotiate. Okay? Please swear to me, my Lord, that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, mother, brothers, sisters, cousins, uncles, aunts. No telling where. She just went on. If you're going to ask, ask for a bunch. And she's going to ask. She's negotiating. And actually, it's all that belonged to them. So whoever they get together is who she wants to be what? Saved. This is one of those, to me, it's a salvation story, okay? And I find this just terribly. Those people that save you are really important people. They're just wonderful to have around. And we're going to run on to several of these women that they save people. Okay? All right. That you will spare the lives, okay, father, mother, brothers, and all who are with them, and that you will save us from death. Okay? Our lives for your lives. The men assured her, if you don't tell, what are they going to do? They're negotiating. Is anybody here knows how to negotiate? My dad was a horse trader. I was just raised negotiating. That's all. I was just raised that way. Okay. But it is a great tool to have in your arsenal to be able to negotiate. When you have a fight with your wife, your relationship, your most significant relationship. You have a fight with your husband. How do you resolve that? You resolve that by negotiation. Now, in my family at home, things were not run that way. They weren't that smooth. Okay, you won by screaming the loudest and getting the biggest veins in your neck. That's how you win arguments. But I think there's a better way. It's called intelligence and negotiation. Just enter in that negotiation. Don't be afraid of it. You buy a car, what do you got to do? You got to negotiate. Buy a house, what do you got to do? You got to negotiate. And a lot of people don't know how to do that. They'll say, well, let's split the difference on that or whatever. But you learn to negotiate. That's what they're doing. They're negotiating a bargain. They're making a bargain here with one another. Okay? We read this one, didn't we? Oh, our lives for your lives, men. If you don't tell what to do, we'll treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us land. He's already got it. I mean, they already know it. The Lord's given us this land here. I don't know what you're going to do, but the Lord's given us this land. Boy, I'm glad you brought that up, Jerry. Did you, everybody hear what he said? They trusted each other. Trust is a necessary coin of relationships, period. You got it. And you know when they say, well, we used to just shake hands, you talk to Scott a lot. I bet he'll tell you about a many business deals around. There's no paper involved. They shook hands because they had trust. You got to have trust for the society to work in any sense, any form. Trust is so important. You earn that when you relate with one another. There's some reciprocity in the relationship. Even if we just meet in church or talk in church and that kind of thing, there's a certain expectations. We don't talk about it. That's fine. I'm not one to talk about all this stuff all the time. But you got to have some sense of trust. In other words, Tom and I are going to relate equally. The relationship doesn't depend upon me, doesn't depend upon him, it depends upon the both of us. Go ahead. Oh, you want to say something? Go ahead. Oh. I'm going to go a step further than that. Yeah. But who's making this deal? She's making this deal with those guys. Yeah. You got it. Yeah. And that shows that she is acting as the head of a household. This is a marvelous story. But women aren't head of the household. Whoever come up with that idea? But she acts, by the way, when we study these women, to me, it's an important point of whether they achieve their goals, and all of them are achieving their goal. If they do that in a masculine role, well, she is. Can you see that she's in a masculine role here? She speaks for her household. She speaks for her mom and dad. Okay, go ahead. But most of the time, the Gentiles were all more worse toward women. No. But the surprising thing is that these Jews are going along with it. They're talking to her like this is a man that's ahead of the household. They're making agreement. This woman, she just carries this clout right with her. Excellent. Excellent to bring that up. Excellent. Because she acts like, I can say this and I can make this happen. And she probably... Well... I hear you. I'm going with you, but I wouldn't want to step off that limb with her on it. I'd be more afraid of her. Go ahead. Oh yeah. And a contractual agreement. Oh yeah, they're cutting it. And I want to say it again. Don't lose sight of how dangerous this is for everybody involved. Those kids you were bringing up a while ago, if they spill the beans, it costs them their life. they'll die with everybody else. Yeah, it is. It's really important, okay? Reciprocity. So she let them down by a rope through the window. Remember, they're on the wall. And so when they're let down, they're outside the city, they're outside the gate and everything. The house Leah was part of the city wall. She said to them, "Go to the hills. The pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves for 3 days until they return and go on your way. Then you'll probably be safe to make those movements and that kind of thing." And these guys, you could probably identify them just by their dress, because they probably dress different, being from a different culture. Okay, we go to 14 with this. So. No. Mm-hmm. Where are we? Oh, is this okay? We're at 15 now. Okay. So she let them down by a rope through the window of the house she lived, part of the city wall, go to the hills. Okay, we did that one. Where are we at? 15. Wait just a minute. I got to look at my stuff. Yeah, we just talked about that. Jax is head of the house. All right. Oh, okay. Now the men said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you have brought your father, mother, and brothers, and all your family into your house." There are some ramifications, and what they're thinking ahead about the battle, and how do I keep my men from killing these people along with everybody else? And so they're trying to develop signs and keep it narrowed down some. In other words, keep everybody in the house and be identified with a cord. So they're just thinking about how can we make this happen. And if we promise her we're not going to kill any of those people, then how do we know what people not to kill? Okay, and that's how they're doing it. Okay, if any of them go outside your house into the street, their blood be on their own heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made with us swear. Okay? So they're setting the ramifications to make sure there's a clear understanding of what we're doing here. Okay, does that take us all the way to the end of that section? Okay. Verse 21, the agreement. "Agreed," she replied. "Let it be as you say." So she sent them away and they departed, and she tied a scarlet cord in the window. I assume scarlet is red, but I always wonder, how do they get those colors? And this is more like what we would probably call some kind of a rope. Why it would be colored, I don't know, but somehow they're going to have a color. They got the agreement. They set some limitations on it, and now this is after the battle or whatever takes place there, okay? Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So at the end of the battle, they are brought out and they are safe. Okay, So the young man who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father, mother, brothers, sisters, and all who belonged to her. They brought out the entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Why are they outside the camp? They're Gentiles. That's to start with. Keep them safe. When shooting starts, it's really hard to stop shooting. Okay? And when they start killing people, it's really hard to stop killing. Okay? And we don't think much of this. We do now. What do we call it when somebody comes back from war and they have some difficult, what do you call it? PTSD. Yes. And these guys, I'm talking about the Jews now, the warriors, are going to kill everybody and all the animals in the city. And this is going to have a great effect on them. And once the killing starts, it's hard to get stopped. You got to watch, be careful when you're reading this stuff of putting your morals into it, okay? That was one of the messages they wanted to send. One of the messages they want to send is there's no peace. Go ahead. And she does. She, like you say, she gets grafted in somewhere. I forget, there might be a little indication of that in these texts we're going to read tonight, but it's pretty limited what we're reading tonight. But she has to be plugged into the whole scheme of things. If you mentioned to be in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Later. But right now she's outside the camp. And I think that is a safety precaution. She's a Gentile. They're all Gentiles, but they're out there. But they're gonna be part of the family. Yeah. And I think that's great for you to point out too, that God's looking for any way to save anybody. Go ahead, Joan. You want to say something? Moral dilemma. I got another one I'm working on right now, too. Yeah. And when she does that, remember, she becomes a traitor to her own people and to her own country. That's why I want to say this is a real moral decision. Have you heard of the name Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Okay, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Now, this is a serious theologian. I want you to understand it. He's a serious theologian. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Okay. When the war really gets started, he's a pacifist. That's why I wanted to read his biography. I think the writer of that biography is Metaxas. Okay. But when the war starts, he's a pacifist. He dies because he's involved with an assassination attempt on Hitler. Now, how does a serious theologian make that kind of shift? Talk about moral dilemmas. And at the end, he was killed by hanging shortly before the end of the war, and they throwed his body out with the rest of the Jews. Just where he wanted to be, with the Jewish people. And I would put the word like reverence, and I mean that in the very best sense of the word. Now, yeah. We should think in that area. We should think in that area. Do our best in that area. Okay. Well, y'all have been great tonight. Y'all have been great. Kind of got the story? I'm sorry? Oh. So they burned the whole city, everything in it. But they put the silver, gold, and articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord. It's because that wouldn't burn. Oh, okay. sake, Sharon. I appreciate it. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lived among the Israelites to this day. I don't know when that was written, but if when it was written, you know, that day she was out there getting water for her family and taking care of her family and going on with business. Right? Amen. How does an insignificant Gentile, morally questionable individual make it to the genealogy of Jesus Christ and the Hebrew Hall of Fame? I will tell you, this is why I want to get across to you. You are of infinite importance in the plan of God. And you may beat yourself up even on a good day. Wish you wouldn't do that. I'm trying not to do that myself. Because it's not so much about how moral you are, as we see here with this prostitute and a Gentile on top of that. And without the help of 3,000 years, we may not even understand that. But we do understand it now. We've got the story in front of us, and then we got the outcome of the story over the years and years and years. We see it. I want you to know how important you are. What was it? Pink Floyd said, just another brick in the wall. She's another brick in the wall, but what an important brick. Be that important. Understand that you are that important. You may be insignificant right now, today, but you are that important. If you'll do your job, if you'll be who God created you to be and do what He has set before you, and if you don't, I'm telling you, the world will be worse off because of it. You are that important in God's scheme of things. It may not look like much now, but I'm telling you, it is of vital importance for you to do that. And I know life can be tough. I've not experienced a lot of real bad issues in my life. I know that. And I talk to people who have. But you just have to shoulder it and live it. Because that's your calling. That's who God called you to do. She could sit and complain all night long that she had to make that decision. And that nobody else in the family does anything but her. She can do that. But I would say, just shut up. Get that negotiation done. Get them guys out of here. And live to play another day. Anyway, that's all I want to say tonight for tonight. And we're going to quit a couple of minutes early. We may not do this every night, but because we have a real important thing to do now, and that is to celebrate my wife's birthday with a birthday cake. Yeah. She's 65 years old today. let me close in prayer. Let me close in prayer, okay? Now, Lord, we thank you for Rahab, and we thank you for the Rahabs of the world. They help us beyond belief. They do for us in ways we can't even imagine. And Lord, let us fulfill our calling. Let us be worthy of our calling. Let us recognize it, not complain that it happens to us when it shows itself on our doorstep. We give you thanks for this woman, Rahab, and how she inspires us today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.